Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
As consumers, we purchase thousands of items every year. We get them home from the store and we think nothing of the fact that most of them are exactly what they should be. But when they're not, wow, that's a problem. Take, for instance, the box of crackers I bought recently. I buy them all the time because they are delicious. But the first cracker of this package was a huge disappointment. It was way too salty. And so were all the other crackers in the box. I began wondering what happened on the manufacturing line and just how many of those boxes of crackers were produced and returned by consumers. Millions of products are produced every day perfectly. But when something goes wrong on the manufacturing line, it can be a disaster because it's a waste of money and it's very bad for the brand. Kevin Snook knows all about that. He's been in the manufacturing industry for over 30 years. He's seen it all, he's lived it all, and he's figured out ways to improve manufacturing results. His book, Make It Right, 5 Steps to Align Your Manufacturing Business from the Front Line to the Bottom Line, will be released on May 1st. So in the coming weeks, we are going to explore the book chapter by chapter. And today we are going to look at chapter 1. So welcome to the Make It Right podcast and welcome, Kevin.
Thank you very much.
30 years, you've gone from the front line right through up till to the C-suite. So tell me a little bit about your career.
Well, I started off in Manchester, England, where I was picked up by Procter & Gamble after university. And as a chemical engineer, I thought I was going to go into some sort of engineering process. And then what I realized was that manufacturing was all about the people. And I loved that side of the people. So I moved into a role as a production manager. And then over the next 30 years, I figured out exactly what it was about people that turned them on, that made them be able to make those beautiful products that you were talking about, and also where there were difficulties and where in the manufacturing process, which is run by people, that we had to change things in order to make them more effective. And so it's really, my background was Procter & Gamble, and then I set up a consultancy 10 years ago, and I've been in 26 different countries helping manufacturers and find out, you know, exactly with them what works well and what doesn't work so well.
So I think, well, for me, I always think of manufacturing as it's some big production line and it's a whole bunch of machines doing all kinds of stuff. And then maybe there's somebody there just kind of minding the shop. But you say it's about the people. So what role do they play?
Well, it's the people who decide whether the machine is going to run or stop, whether it's going to be cleaned or it's going to be left alone. It's the people who decide when they maintain the equipment, how well they do that, and how well they align the process. And so it's really the people that are driving the quality, the safety, the consistent output from the production line. So although the equipment is important, it's up to the people to ensure that the equipment delivers what it's supposed to deliver. And when you have highly engaged employees that love what they do and feel like they want to come to work every day and deliver great quality product, then the whole manufacturing process is a dream. When the people are switched off and not paying attention, then like anything in life, the results are not as good as you would like them to be.
So you had in your career, the early part of your career, an aha moment where things were definitely not going the way they were supposed to, even though you were doing exactly everything correctly or according to the rules. Tell me about that moment.
Yeah, well, I was doing everything that I was told to do. And I think a lot of times in life, we do that. We're trying our very best to do what we think are the right things to do, but perhaps not what are the things that are going to get the best results for us and for the people around us. And so there was one particular time I was working, you know, for a major company, and the results just weren't coming. And we were going to all the meetings, we were doing all the things we thought we were supposed to do. And the results were a big challenge. I then had a meeting from regional director who'd come to talk to me. He realized, or he basically said to me that my results were terrible. And that was a huge shock as a young manager. And he was right. The results weren't meeting the standards they were supposed to be. But the challenge was really, it wasn't as me as an individual or the people that were working on my production line. And I felt terrible for my teams that were working and were trying extremely hard every day. You know, in manufacturing, the people are working, quite often they've got a 1 or 2 hour trip to work, especially in Asia, where I've been spending a lot of my time. A long trip to work, and then a long day at work in environments that are noisy and challenging. And then, you know, and are trying really hard. And then to not get the results that they want to be getting is very disappointing for them as individuals. And then to be told that the results are bad by the leadership team is, that wasn't a nice feeling. I got to a point where I was working so hard that I basically ended up with very close to a breakdown. And I had an epiphany point, and that was, I have two choices. I can either quit and go and find something else to do, or I can turn this around and do things the way that I think they should be done, rather than just the way I'm being told for them to be done. And the way I wanted them to be done was that I was getting everybody involved in that, highly engaged in what we were producing. And that was the big change, really. I called in my team leaders, I called in all the team members and said, look, how are we going to do this differently? How are we going to make sure that we who know the equipment better than any of the other leaders around can actually run this equipment the way we want to run it, in the way that's going to protect the consumer and produce really good quality products? And we set up a different plan, a different operating strategy. And that was so that we could all come to work, enjoy it every day, get that equipment running at the optimum settings, and keep it running at the optimum settings, whatever that took. And this is where there's a difference. You know, there's two different ways to run a business. One of them is to pump out the volume and just try to get the product out the door. And the other way is to make it right. And that is really to make sure that every product that's coming off that line is what the consumer expects and is the very top quality. And to do that, you have to do things slightly differently. So that was an epiphany for me and for the team around me. And since after we put that process in place, things just picked up beautifully.
So basically what you're saying is that the people that were on the front line, you allowed them to be the experts in their particular area, and you saw them as experts.
Well, the fact is they are the experts. They're mm-hmm. they're touching the equipment every second of the day, and they're the ones that are making the decisions every minute of the day, whether we like that or not. And they can be making fantastic decisions when they're energized and when they've got the right information, the right training, the right tools to do a really good job. They can do that fantastically, and they should be allowed to do that. So it's a matter of turning that organization triangle upside down, and rather than telling people what to do, listening to them and then helping them do what they already know to do.
So is that the biggest mistake leaders of manufacturing companies are making right now?
I think it's a major mistake. And when you have the idea that we should be passing information down the chain to tell people what to do, and then we're asking them for information so that we can make the decisions for them, then not only does that take a lot of time, but the decisions that we're making are typically wrong. And so when we encourage and enable the frontline operators to make the right decisions themselves, to be fully engaged and accountable for the decisions that they make, then the chances are the decisions are going to be so much better.
Right. Okay. So after all of these years, you've worked in the industry, you've got some trade secrets. Why did you decide to share them now with this book?
I just felt like it was time to, first of all, to get more recognition for the frontline employees. I think we've got hundreds of millions of people around the world that are working in manufacturing, and they're not being given the opportunity, in my opinion, to go home at the end of the day feeling fulfilled and feeling like they're really looking forward to coming to work the next day. And if we can share the right message, if we can help those frontline employees get the help and support that they need to be able to do a fantastic job, then it builds the quality of their life. It builds the quality of their family life. It gives them that opportunity to go home at the end of the day feeling excited, and then be able to spend that time with their families in a very positive way. And I've seen so many people that don't have that opportunity because they're not being given that opportunity at work. So I felt like it was the right time now to be able to impact more people and get this message out there.
So manufacturing, there's a couple of terms out there. There's lean and there's Six Sigma and things like that. Where does what you're talking about and saying in this book, where does it go with lean and Six Sigma?
Lean and Six Sigma are very good systems when they're applied. The problem that I've seen in many different companies is that the companies struggle to apply them because they don't have the right operating strategy in place. They don't have the right support from the leadership team. So when they are, when both systems are used effectively by the leadership team, then they can have fantastic results on the business. A really good impact. And in fact, what I'm looking to do is not take away from Lean or Six Sigma. It's to put the strategy in place behind that to make sure that the organization is well aligned before we start to put in those different systems. And so if you have a frontline workforce that is fully engaged, then rolling out a system like Lean or Six Sigma is possible. Again, if you look at the, for me, the process is all around aligning the whole organization, having a very clear message from the leadership team about where we're going, and then helping everybody to move in that same direction. And Lean and Six Sigma are tools to help us as part of that journey.
Can you tell me about one particular situation that sticks in your mind that really proved the power of employee engagement to you?
Well, there's so many, but one that really sticks in my mind. We were working with a group of frontline employees who had never used computers before. And this was only a few years ago, but they never used computers. And we worked with them on a system. We shared our learning on how getting the right information into the hands of the right people could make such a difference, and making sure those frontline employees had the information that they needed to make really good decisions. And we'd been working with this group for about 6 weeks. And then one of the frontline operators went out, bought himself with his own money a smartphone, then brought that into the factory and asked my chief technology officer if he would install a program on his phone so that he could have access to the line results while he was at home, and he would know then what he was going to be facing when he came into work the next day. So that to me showed that not only was he investing his own money and his own time in getting this system in place, he was extremely excited about knowing how he could improve the line results before he came to work. Now, to me, that's real ownership. And that shows that when people do get engaged, everything is possible. Following on from that, that particular employee over the next year got promoted to the lead, to the management team. And that was almost unheard of in that organization that a technician who had been running the production line would be moved into the management group. So things are possible when we start to build that engagement with people.
And when you do this engagement, it does end up benefiting the bottom line of the company, right?
It's phenomenal. So I think that, in a way this is almost obvious, but when people are engaged, then the results are going to be better. When people are allowed to do the things that they want to do, when they're allowed to take the opportunity to do the right thing and to make it right, then the results get immediately better. I'm working with a company recently, and we had been working on what we call million-dollar savings. So we look for opportunities in the manufacturing company where we can save at least $1 million. And we had achieved that in the first 9 months. And then the team came back to me and said, Kevin, where's the next $1 million opportunity? And so to have, again, this is the frontline employees asking me how they can then, you know, where we should focus for the next $1 million saving. And to me, again, that's phenomenal because we're really turning those frontline employees on and allowing them to take control of the business. And when we talk about the business, we're talking about the bottom line of the business.
Kevin, so the next chapter that is in your book is called The Manufacturing CEO and the Align Process. So the next time we talk, we'll be talking about that particular chapter. Can you give me an overview of what you will be able to share with people in that chapter?
Absolutely. This is a very simple five-step process. And Align is the steps that we follow, A-L-I-G-N. And within those very simple five steps, you'll see how we can set a very clear direction and then turn the employees on so that they're the ones who are wanting to make it right and are wanting to drive the results forward for the business.
Okay, so we'll talk to you next week. And the Make It Right book will be available on Amazon starting on May 1st. That's very exciting. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you so much.